We're grateful that you're here tonight, and I pray the Lord will reward you for your faithfulness and help us tonight. I appreciate people that pray for us. I tell you, there was real good liberty this morning to preach the Word of God. Amen. I don't take that for granted. Amen. And I appreciate you praying for us. We're going to read a chapter here, chapter number 3. The message will be built around this chapter tonight. We begin looking this morning at the subject, Be Ye Thankful. And that very phrase is found in Psalm 100. And it's found again in verse number 15 of Colossians chapter number 3. And we told you this morning that the word thankful is found just 3 times. I asked a preacher this afternoon on the phone. I said, "Brother, how many times do you think the word thankful will be in the Word of God?" And he said, "I'd say about 300. And I said, "I'll say about 3. Amen. And I never dreamed that that word would only be 3 times in the Bible. And then the word unthankful is in the Bible 2 times. And the message today has been built around these 2 words, thankful and unthankful. We looked this morning at the delight of a thankful spirit. We got into Romans chapter number 1 and talked about the dangers of an unthankful spirit. And we're going to go tonight in chapter number 3 of the book of Colossians and talk about the deliverance from an unthankful spirit. Some things that would help us in our Christian walk, in our life, to be a thankful people and guard us from being an unthankful people. The Bible said, "If you then be risen with Christ," verse 1 of chapter 3, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now, ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness and perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. If correctly read, that's chapter 3 in the book of Colossians. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray tonight that we will let the Word of God dwell in us richly. And Father, we know tonight that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. I pray, blessed Holy Spirit, work in us tonight, work through us tonight. Lord, give me the words, Father, that be pleasing in thy sight, that will be a help to our people. And help us, our Father, that this might not just be a season in our lives, but may it be a way of life for the child of God, that we might be a thankful people. I pray, God, tonight you'd use the message in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me back up just a moment tonight. I'm not going back to Romans chapter number 1, but let me back up into 2 Timothy for just a moment and show you over here in the Word of God. What I say back up, I mean in the message, in the Bible, you're going to go over a little. But let me show you just a little bit about the dangers of an unthankful spirit, and that maybe it will weigh in our hearts heavy as to why we need to really pay attention to what God's going to say to us in Colossians chapter 3 in the deliverance from an unthankful spirit. The Bible said this, know that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let me ask a question tonight. How many of you all realize that without God's help, we could be found right in that list right there tonight? We could be, without the help of God, an unthankful family, an unthankful husband, an unthankful wife, an unthankful mother, an unthankful son, and an unthankful daughter. And the Word of God declares that that is unholy, that it's sin, amen, to be in a state where we're not grateful for the blessings of God. The Bible talked about every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. And I tell you, God has been good to us, amen. I was talking to Brother Richard a little while ago. We're going to have the carpet taken up in the fellowship hall. And I told Brother Richard that we're saving it in pieces, and that if a family needs a piece, he said, "Preacher, I don't know of any family that might need a piece. You might be surprised." Amen. I tell you, my daddy would have given anything when I was growing up to have a piece of that carpet over there. Amen. We've been blessed. We've been truly blessed. Amen. And I thank the Lord for His blessings. But we want to be delivered from an unthankful spirit. I will say this. There have been times in my life, Brother Larry, I've only been saved 28 years, when I'm afraid that I was not nearly as thankful for the blessings of God as I should have been. When I murmured in my heart and in my spirit, and I complained, amen. I don't do a lot of complaining out loud, and if I do, you would never know about it. It would be my wife that knows about that, amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? But I will tell you this, if we're not careful, we'll murmur in our heart. We'll murmur in our spirit, and that is displeasing to God. You remember when the children of Israel murmured, and they complained, amen. They weren't thankful. You know, God rained a manna down from heaven, amen. That wasn't good enough, amen. God dried up the Red Sea and let them walk across on dry ground. They were bitten of the serpents, and God let Moses raise up a brazen serpent. That wasn't good enough. And I say it jokingly sometimes, but sometimes it's closer to the truth than we want to admit. And that is that the children of Israel in the wilderness, they must have been Baptists. Amen. I'm telling you, they were murmuring and complaining on every corner about to drive Moses nuts. Amen. But God helped him. Amen. May the Lord deliver us from an unthankful spirit. Let's look at this, the key to this in Colossians chapter number 3. I believe there's some things right here, just a few statements tonight, and we'll be finished. There's some things here that are laid out in the Word of God that will help us not to be an unthankful, me to be an unthankful pastor or husband, amen, or father, but to be thankful in all things. The Bible did say this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, amen, and how we ought to thank Him tonight. The first thing I see in the chapter is this, that will deliver us from an unthankful spirit. That is the direction of our affection. The direction of our affection. The Word of God said here, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You say, preacher, what's the key in that? Well, let me say this to you tonight. If all we have is what's horizontal, then we're probably going to be murmuring and complaining, amen? Because there's a lot going on the horizontal plane, amen, that is dissatisfying and disappointing, amen? But I'll tell you this, when we look up, we'll never be disappointed, amen? When we set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth, we'll never be disappointed. The Bible said, if you then be risen with Christ, the Lord spoke to my heart, that is a big if. I'll tell you why there's some people will never be thankful. It's because they've never been saved. I mean, if we be risen with Christ, then set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. I worry about folks that never have time for the Bible, never have time to pray, never have time for church, never have time for God's people. Amen. I'll tell you, if you're risen with Christ, then set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. The Bible said, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's why Paul has said in another place, we're crucified with Christ. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me. He said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Let me ask you this. What would it be like for Jesus to come to take us home and us be a murmuring and a grumbling and a complaining? Amen. Oh, I tell you, that's not going to be good. Amen. God wants to deliver us from an unthankful spirit, and the direction of our affection will help. I believe in all my heart, I believe it'll help us. Amen. Look, notice what the Bible said over there in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12, going along with this direction of our affection as the people of God. It said, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. How many believes an unthankful spirit is a sin that does so easily beset us? Amen. And the Bible said this. He said, let us lay it aside and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of God the Father. I want you to know tonight the direction of our affection will rescue us from being an unthankful people. Because when we're looking up, we realize one day we're going up. And we realize we're going up because he was willing to die for our sin and give his life on that old rugged cross. Amen. The Bible said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of God the Father. The direction of our affection will deliver us from an unthankful spirit. Look with me at 2 Corinthians for just a moment tonight. This is just absolutely awesome. I couldn't believe it when I read it.
I had forgot about that word that popped up right in this text. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And let's read together, starting in verse number 14. The Bible said here, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Watch carefully now. We're talking about the direction of our affection, being thankful. How in the world could Paul thank God for chains? Thank God for being shipwrecked. Thank God for being put in prison. Thank God for being beaten. Thank God, my friend, how could he just continue to in everything give thanks? I'll tell you how. It's because he didn't have his eyes on the chains. He had his eyes on the one that loosed him from the chains of sin and that would come and get him one day after a while. Watch this. The Bible said, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, watch this now, might through, look at that word, the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Watch this. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed by day by day. You can study a little bit about Paul. Many believe that he had eyes that looked like they were bulging out of his head. He had a disease called ophthalmia. And many believe that he was not much to look at. Many believe he was not very big in stature. But he said, hey, this old outward man's perishing. But I'm not looking at this outward man. I'm looking at an inward man that's renewed day by day. Watch what he said. He said here, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Let me ask you a question. How many of you think that we could, in this generation, be shipwrecked or in prison or be in perils of countrymen, in perils among false brethren? How many believe we could be hungry? How many believe, my friend, we could be beaten and call it light affliction? You want to know how Paul was able to do that? Watch this. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, here it is, the direction of his affection. He's not looking at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. He said, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. He had his eyes on the prize. He had his eyes on the Lord Jesus. Amen. The deliverance from an unthankful spirit, number one tonight, is found in the direction of our affection. Number two tonight, it's found in the putting off and the putting on. Watch what the Bible said. The Bible said, mortify therefore your members. For which things sake, verse 6, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. Paul's talking about our past life. Paul had a past. We've got a past. But we're supposed to put off the past. We're supposed to put off the old man and put on the new man. Watch what the Bible said here. But now you also put off all of these. Put them off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Let me just say this tonight. Let me tell you this tonight. There's a whole lot of people in the world caught in this trap of grumbling. Amen. Instead of being humbly grateful, they're grumbly hateful. How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. They're grumbling, they're murmuring, they're complaining. And I'll tell you, a lot of it tonight, there's a root of bitterness down inside of them. Amen. They can't nobody get it right. Amen. They can't be satisfied with anything. I tell you, I believe tonight, God wants us to be delivered from an unthankful spirit. We got to put off that mess. Watch this. Verse 10. Put on the new man. Who is that new man? Y'all know who he is. His name's Jesus, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. I've had people say, preacher, I would get saved, but I'm afraid I can't live the Christian life. I'm the first one to agree with them. Hallelujah. They can't live it. You can't live it. I can't live it. But you let Christ come on the inside, and he can live it through you and through me tonight. put on the new man. Put off the old man and put on the new. I'm going to tell you why a lot of people won't put off the old man. They like him. They love him. They want to be hateful. They want to be bitter. They want to bite people's heads off. They want to go through life, amen, miserable and make as many people miserable as they can along the way. They don't want the new man. He said, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Let me just stop and make a statement right here. What if when an individual is caught in a certain sin, what if everybody just stopped and asked themselves this question, how would I want to be treated? How would I want to be treated? What if everybody that had a young'un that went astray would just stop and say, how would I want to treat somebody else's young'un? How would I want them to treat my young'un that's went astray or my family? Amen. He said here, there ought to be some bowels of mercy, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. Let me just say this. It wouldn't matter tonight what went on. I can honestly, by the grace of God, say to you, it's the grace of God. It's not me. Amen. And I believe tonight we ought to, my friend, be humble about the thing. Watch this now. He said, forbearing one another. We're still talking about putting off and putting on. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. How many's glad he's not holding a grudge tonight? How many's glad, thank God, he's not digging up? There's one thing I know about Jesus. My past comes up in my mind. Amen. But it's never him digging in it. It's that old devil digging in it. Sometimes it's that old flesh digging in it. But it's never my God digging in that mess. Amen. The flesh, my friend, sometimes wants to resurrect it. The devil wants to resurrect it. But it's dead in the eyes of God. The Bible said here, and above all these things, put on charity. He said, which is the bond of perfectness. I tell you, charity is the super glue that'll hold it together when nothing else will. Amen. Love one another. No wonder Jesus took all the commandments and hung them on those two. The Bible said, let the peace of God rule. You say, preacher, what do you see? In deliverance from an unthankful spirit. Number one, the direction of our affection will deliver us. Number two, the putting off and the putting on. Let me ask you something. How many of y'all have ever put on something that didn't fit? I preach a message. I don't know if I've ever preached it here before, but I preached it two or three times in my ministry on some things I found in the closet. Jesus said, enter into your closet and pray. And I'm not going to give it all away tonight. Amen. But I go in to just go home with you and go in your closet and talk about some things. You know what you'll find in the closet? You'll find some things that don't fit. Somebody help me. Amen. And you know what we'll do? We'll keep setting them back and setting them back. My wife asked me this morning, as a matter of fact, she said, you want me to get your 40s out? I said, it ain't time yet, baby. Amen. See, she saved them. Amen. And for a while, we saved 38s. I'm long past that. Say amen. But I tell you tonight, there's some things that you go into that closet and pray, you'll find out they just don't fit. But we sometimes, there's things in our lives that don't fit. And we just keep setting it back and setting it back. How many knows I'm telling it right? Let me tell you what it needs to be done. Listen, we say, preacher, what finally happens? Well, a couple of things. Salvation Army, Goodwill, or a yard sale. That's where it finally ends up. When we finally come to ourselves, amen, and admit it does not fit, and it probably ain't never going to fit again. Well, when we got saved by the grace of God, there's some things that will never fit again in your life and in my mind. They'll never fit again. And so we just well get shed of them. The Bible talked about putting off and putting on. But watch this now. Then let the peace of God rule. We got two more things here. The Bible said the direction of our affection will help us, deliver us from an unthankful spirit. Putting off and putting on will help us. But then there's two more here where the Bible uses the word let. Let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God rule. Watch in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule. I want you to see how the Bible outlines itself right here. It's amazing to me how the Bible just outlines itself. Number one, there needs to be peace in the heart. That can only come through the blood of His cross. Amen. There is no other way to have peace with God than through the blood of Calvary's cross. Amen. There needs to be peace in the heart. But let me give you this. There needs to be peace in the house of God. Watch this. You say, preacher, what? How many's ever been around a church situation where people got to grumbling, they got to complaining? How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. And it don't take long. Amen. The peace just went plumb out the window. Amen. Same will happen in our heart. We get to grumbling. We get to complaining. We get to saying another peanut butter sandwich instead of praise God for a peanut butter sandwich. We get to saying brown beans again instead of saying, boy, thank God for brown beans. Amen. Cornbread, fried taters, especially the crunchy ones on the bottom. I like them. Amen. Ain't never got over it. I eat them all my life, and I still like it. I'll be honest with you. I love it. Amen. But watch this tonight. The Bible said here, let the peace of God rule in your heart, number one. Watch this. To which you are called in one body. One body. Here goes the house of God. The body of Christ. There needs to be the peace of God in our heart. There needs to be the peace of God. You say, preacher, what happens when the peace goes out the window? We get unthankful. If we want to be delivered from an unthankful spirit, we must have the peace of God in our heart, and we must have the peace of God in the house of God. Amen. I'll tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully right here. Whether it's pastor, whether it's people, includes both. It can never be my way or the highway. It takes a body of Christ looking for His way. His way, not my way, not your way, but His way. And that charity, that love for God is the bond that'll keep us together. Amen. Keep the peace of God in our heart. Keep the peace of God in the house of God. Look at verse number 13. Forbearing one another. What do you mean, preacher? That means there's times, Brother Johnny, when you're just going to have to put up with your pastor. Now, that was the forward gear. Let me reach over there and get the reverse gear. That means there are going to be times when I'm just going to have to put up with my youth director. Hello? That thing goes both ways. That means there's times when the deacons are just going to have to put up with their pastor. And the pastor's just going to have to put up with the deacons. Amen. Forbear. Amen. And realize we're all human. None of us are right all of the time. But He's right all the time. The peace of God. Peace in our heart. Peace in the house of God. Look what He said here. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. I'll tell you right now. There are going to be times when I'm going to blow it. And there are going to be times when you're going to blow it. Do me a favor. When I blow it, treat me like you'd want me to treat you when you blow it. Say amen right there. You say, preacher, that's simple preaching. Yeah, but it'll help us. It'll cause us to be thankful for one another and not take one another for granted and not be in the list with disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy and covetous and boasters and proud. Amen. It'll keep us humble before the God of heaven. The Bible said here, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. How many remembers the text? Paul is dealing with the church at Corinth. And there's a man that's committed an ugly sin. He's committed incest with his stepmother. And Paul tells him to deal with him. He said, you've just turned your head to this sin. He said, put away from among you. Amen. Deal with him. Deal with the sin. He said, listen, turn his soul or turn his flesh over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul may be saved in the day. Deal with it. That's what Paul says. And so then they go overboard. They deal with it, and the man repents. And then you have 2 Corinthians. And Paul said, listen, forgive him. If the man has repented, you've got to forgive him. Amen. He said, lest he's swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. But then this is what Paul said. He said, to whom forgave I anything? This is key. This is key. This is key. He said, in the person of Christ forgave I it. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I was in a prison in Pennsylvania. I had a whole afternoon Bible study, 2 hours, and taught on forgiveness. Taught those men about forgiveness and the importance of forgiveness. Got down to the end of it, Brother Houston, and I said, now listen, fellas, let me teach you something right here. You should have seen the look on their faces. 35 or 40 men in that Bible study. I said, if one of you comes to my home where I live, breaks in my house, violates my wife or one of my daughters, I've spent 2 hours talking about forgiveness. And I said, you violate my wife or you violate one of my daughters. I said, look at me, man, look at me. I said, I cannot forgive you. What I was teaching them, Brother Grizzle, had somebody besides me. I tell you what I could do. I could kill them. Say amen. But I tell you, in the person of Christ, we can forgive one another. But we cannot do it outside of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We can forgive one another. Amen. I tell you tonight, I believe that's what Paul was talking about. Let the peace of God rule. Number one, in our hearts. Number two, in the house of God. But look how he looks at the home, in our homes. Watch what he said. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. How many knows what it is to have peace in the home? How many knows what it is not to have peace in the home? 7 years old. 7 years old. My mother and father were quarreling, and I'm not going to go into all of it. But as a 7-year-old boy, I remember crawling in an altar at Valley Baptist Church in Bel Air, Maryland, and begging God to help my mommy and help my daddy. It would have been good if their hearts could have been broken the way their son's heart. I've got vivid pictures of what went on in my heart. In my mind, and I'm not going to talk about it. My mama's in heaven with Jesus tonight. I'm telling you, thank God she's been forgiven. Thank God daddy's been forgiven. But I'll say something to you, mom and dad. There's scars that are left by the messes, amen, that go on in homes that we need to, my friend, try our best to avoid. We need to try to avoid those scars. God wants us to have peace in our homes. I've said this, I think the last time I preached on the home, the teenagers that go out into the school and they go out into the storm, they need the home to be a cove where they can get in out of the storm, a place of peace, a place of refuge. The Bible said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. I remember the night God saved me. Miss Eve remembers this. She wasn't at church. We had 2 children at the time, and they were both sick. And by the way, Brother Frankie would have been here today, but his children are sick. I mean, they've all had some kind of stomach, and it just been a mess. But my 2 children were sick. My wife was at home. I went to church that night. I wasn't looking for him, but thank God Almighty he was looking for me. And he saved me that night by the grace of God. I went home and took my wife by the hands and looked her in her eyes, weeping like a baby. And I said, honey, I'm sorry. She said, for what? I can back up and only think what she must be thinking. I thought you were at church. Amen. I said, I'm sorry. She said, for what? I said, I thought I loved you. I said, but until just a few minutes ago, I'm afraid I didn't know anything about love. I lived my life for my stinking self. But when he saved me, he put a love in my heart for others, for my wife, for my children. Amen. For the people of God and for sinners. The Lord put a love in my heart for sinners. And for saints, for the Savior, for the Scripture, for my family. The Bible said, husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You know what those four verses right there produce? Peace in the home. And you let the wife get out of whack, there goes the peace. You let the husband get out of whack. Isn't that something? You can have six people in a home. It don't take six to get out of whack. It just takes one. And the peace of God will fly out the window. The same way in the church. It don't have to be the majority. You just get a little faction here, a little faction there, and the peace of God will fly out the window. Amen. Here, the Word of God is saying, be thankful. And there is I guess, what's that word, Brother Brian, you use when you write, the doctor writes that out? A prescription. Thank you. I was about on a subscription. That's a magazine. A prescription. That's the medicine that'll fix the problem. Amen. God's got us the medicine right here in these four verses that would fix the problem in the home today. Amen. Here we live in the good old United States of America, where they'd like for the Bible to say, husbands, love your husbands. It'll never say that. It never has, and it never will. They'd like for the Bible to say, wives, love your wives. It has never said that, and it never will. It never will. My friend, tonight, the deliverance from an unthankful spirit in the home, in the house of God, in the heart. Let the peace of God rule. Let me give you one more thing, and I'm finished. We see the direction of our affection that will deliver us from an unthankful spirit. Putting off and putting on, that will deliver us from an unthankful spirit. Let the peace of God rule, that will deliver us from an unthankful spirit. But here's the next thing, this little phrase, let the word of Christ dwell. I believe it's an impossibility for the word of Christ to dwell in us and us remain unthankful. I believe it's an impossibility. You say, preacher, what will it do? What will it help us with? The Bible said in verse number 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The first thing it'll help us with is wisdom. The word of God will help us with wisdom. Let me ask a question. Are there any daddies in here besides me that need some wisdom? Amen. Any moms need some wisdom? Any teenagers need some wisdom? You better believe it. Amen. You say, preacher, where in the world are we going to find wisdom? I don't know where else to tell you to look, but right here in the pages of this precious old book, the Word of God. Amen. God asked Solomon, he said, tell me what you want. He said, I've got a big job, Lord. I'm to lead the people. He said, I need wisdom. And God was pleased with that. Amen. God was pleased with that. And God added everything else to him as well. Watch this now. Not only do we need wisdom, and it'll help us with wisdom, but when the word of Christ dwells, look in verse number 16. He says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Not only will it help us with wisdom when the Word of Christ dwells in us, but it'll help us with worship. The Word of God will help us with worship. It'll help us to worship Him. It'll help us to understand, amen, that this, it's more than just a choir singing. It's more than just a special. It's more than just a congregational. What we're doing is sending up worship. We're saying, God, you're worthy. Amen. And the Bible said down here a little bit later, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. It'll help us with wisdom. It'll help us with worship. And then in verse number 17, it'll help us with whatsoever. The Bible said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You know, tonight, what happens sometimes, people, they forget. And if you and I are not careful, we'll forget. We'll forget who gave us our mind, who gave us our eyes, who gave us our hands, who gave us our feet, who gave us our children. who gave us the roof over our head, who gave us the food in the cupboard. I've had people say to me, and I mean this, they say, "Preacher, I've worked for what I got." I know. I know. I think we should work. But who gave us the ability to work? Who gave us the knowledge to work? In other words, everything ought to be turned right back around in thanksgiving to Him. And say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me." Amen. I believe He's pleased with that. I believe that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I believe in Romans chapter 1, that's what's going on. They're full of pride. Don't care what God says about sin. Don't care what God says about the flesh. Don't care what God says about the creation. But I tell you right now, that's pride. It's arrogancy. God hates it in every evil way. Amen. He wants us to walk humbly with our God, realizing that every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? We see the delight of a thankful spirit in Psalm 100, the dangers of an unthankful spirit in Romans 8, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we see the deliverance from an unthankful spirit as it's pictured in Colossians chapter number 3, the direction of our affection, putting off and putting on. Let the peace of God rule in our heart and the house of God and our homes. Let the word of Christ dwell in us, that we might have wisdom, that we might worship, and that whatsoever we can do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Look at that verse down there. I believe it's in verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Let me say this to you tonight. This is just something that Daddy instilled in me years ago. He said, "Son, if it's worth doing, do it right." And you know, what one man calls right, another man may not call it right. But if both men are doing the best they can and doing it heartily as unto the Lord, that's acceptable in the eyes of our God. Amen. And He appreciates that. I never have forgotten that. I never have forgotten that. And I appreciate my father and some of the things that he's instilled in me. One of the things is to be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that you would deliver us from an unthankful spirit. Lord, if we get unthankful and we get to taking one another for granted, we could very easily come to a place where we just dread coming to church, dread opening the songbook, dread opening the Bible. God, deliver us from that unthankful spirit. Help us to thank you, Lord. Pick up our Bible every once in a while and kiss it and say, "Thank you, God, for giving me the canon of Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for my Bible. Thank you, God, for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my grandchildren. Thank you for my church, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, though some of us may not have a gift to sing, we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Thank you, God, for those that do have a gift to sing. Thank you, God, for our preachers. Thank you, God, for our families. And I pray, God, tonight you just minister to us, minister through us, and help us, God, to be a thankful people. Help us as we go through this holiday, Lord, Lord, and Christmas, to be thanking you, Lord, that you were willing to stand up, willing to leave the throne, willing to come down here to earth, willing, Lord, to take on a body of flesh, willing to suffer, willing to die, willing, Lord, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Lord, that you were the first fruits of them that sleep. God, because you got up, we'll get up too. I pray, Father, tonight you'd help us that we might be delivered from an unthankful spirit. God, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name.